So not too many patients are really eligible for maintenance before transplant because they're getting transplant instead of maintenance. But another question is, what do you do after the transplant to reduce relapse risk? That was not at all addressed by the midostaurin trial that I just mentioned. There were other trials that did address that question, the most important one of which is probably ongoing, and that is the trial that Mark Levis is chairing, sponsored again by the government, the BMT-CTN of the U.S., comparing gilteritinib to nothing in post-transplant maintenance. There was a trial called SORMAIN, S-O-R-M-A-I-N, that was presented at ASH that was a positive trial for sorafenib, which is a FLT3 inhibitor we haven't yet discussed because it's usually used as a VEGFR inhibitor in kidney cancer. But the SORMAIN trial was a very small trial. 40 patients got sorafenib, 40 patients got chemotherapy, and there was a survival benefit even in that small trial, indicating a big effect. As Mark pointed out, sorafenib is not the easiest drug to use because it causes like GI and other side effects, but it was a positive trial. We have some non-controlled data at the Dana-Farber and the MGH that it's a good idea. Others do as well, but there's also the RADIUS trial, which was a randomized trial of midostaurin versus no midostaurin, but it was a very small trial. I think only 60 patients total, and it didn't show a statistical benefit from midostaurin. But I think the bulk of the data suggests that outside the clinical trial, yeah, I would give my relative FLT3 inhibitor in the post-transplant setting.
So I don't know how I did not know. You're saying the FDA didn't approve the maintenance part of midostaurin, yet everybody uses it. So I guess you can access it in spite of the, or is
well,
it?
Well, that's a complicated question too. It's obviously approved. You can write a prescription for midostaurin. I could give you a prescription for midostaurin for your cold if I wanted to. I might get sued, but I could do it. So I might not get it paid for. It's the same issue with midostaurin maintenance. It's certainly justifiable medically, obviously. But if a savvy insurance company caught you giving it maintenance, they can make a fuss. Of course they don't. That's not going to be something that's realistically. If I had a patient and there was no reimbursement issues who I, for whatever reason, wasn't going to get a transplant, I would give them midostaurin because I, in maintenance, because I personally agree with the EMA more than with the FDA on this, although I understand where they're coming from. But again, it's moot because most people get transplants and then you need to discuss the transplant issue, the post-transplant issue.
But in terms of that, though, in a sense, midostaurin would be sort of a bridge to transplant. Is that the way you view it?
Oh, absolutely. Both on the upfront and the relapse setting. So in the upfront setting, I tell the patient, yeah, I'm going to give you midostaurin and chemo. I'm going to get you in remission. And if it's all possible, I'm going to do a transplant once you're in remission. So in that sense, it is the whole package is a bridge to transplant. In the relapse setting with the gilteritinib, some of those patients who responded got a transplant to consolidate that second remission. Again, nowadays, if you really believe what I'm saying, most patients with relapse already had a transplant.